Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. The Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on a shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcasts at home is quite easy. You could use a shortwave radio with the schedule of English language broadcasts, but it's simpler to use a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports and find advice for listening to shortwave at home. Please check out the website and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from Going Underground, France 24, Radio Deutsche Welle, and NHK Japan. We will begin with 2 excerpts from an interview that Afshin Ratansi did with Tariq Ali on his program called Going Underground. Tariq is a Pakistani-British writer, journalist, and political activist. First, he talks about Iran and what would happen if the U.S. or Israel attacked them. Also, the current political climate in Iran. Then Tariq talks about why the U.S. is so determined to prevent the reunification of the Koreas, something that would please many inhabitants of the island. Going underground.
Joining me again from London is a lifelong fighter for Palestinian rights, novelist, playwright, historian, filmmaker, journalist, and street fighter. Tariq Ali has just published his 2nd volume of memoirs, You Can't Please All, encompassing not only his own personal family history, but his work after his internationalist role in the 60s at the New Left Review.
On Iran, my own feeling is that it would be a very rash president and leadership of the Pentagon that decided to either themselves or to unleash the Israelis on Iran. Iran is going to fight back. They know what's going on. They've had discussions with other large countries. The main purpose for destabilizing Iran is to get concessions from them. And the concessions are not simply on nuclear reactors and all that. I think there's a more serious plan, which is to make it impossible for Iran as a sovereign state to negotiate directly and sell oil and gas to China. They would like the U.S. to be the power that determines to whom energy is sold and under what conditions. And it's part of their big plan to surround and lay siege to China, about which all of them are serious, not just Trump, but, you know, Biden before him, Obama before that, Bush, etc. They are worried and concerned about the development of China as a major economic power, and they want to control it. So, in my opinion, the threats against Iran are more to do with that than anything else. Of course, the Israelis want to destroy all the countries that are still sovereign states. They've done it in the heart of the Arab world. They would like to do it to Iran, but it's not going to be so easy. The second thing on this, Afshin, is that the Iranian clerical leadership has already made concessions to its own population. I mean, I've been speaking to Iranian friends here and some who've come back from Iran in recent weeks, and they say that the law with the prohibitions on women and how they dress has been suspended, that you can take a walk through Tehran and it's like walking through parts of Beirut. So they realize some of the big mistakes they've made for no real rhyme or reason, just, in my opinion, pure stupidity to try and insist that this is the way you can control your country. But so they're aware of that. And the population, while the middle and upper middle classes load the regime, even they don't want their cities to be reduced to what Gaza has been reduced to, or what Beirut has been reduced to, or what Damascus and Aleppo are being reduced to by Baghdad. They don't want that. They may want to get rid of their regime, but they don't want a foreign invasion. And there, within the country as a whole, despite anger with the regime on many fronts, people will fight back. The Pastoran is well organized. They're not going to go under. The Iranians have air force. They have missiles, non-nuclear missiles.
No asymmetric attacks on Western European suppliers of the weaponry that Israel would rain down on Iran?
These West European countries and the United States who've been supplying weapons to Israel are doing so largely to make sure that the Israelis carry on fighting when they're needed to. They've gone a bit out of control, which is why some people in the United States even are nervous. But by and large, the weapons are not going to be used, or they could be, but were not supplied to attack Iran, in my opinion. I think both the United States and the European powers are divided on Iran. The Germans, for instance, have had good relations with Iran before October 2023. So it's an open question of how they will react, but it won't be an easy war for the West to win.
Let's just pick on one, because Trump is obsessed by Korea, or was in his first term, because North Korea arguably could destroy Los Angeles in 30 minutes. Just very briefly, you see the U.S. role there desperately to prevent Northern and Southern Korea, North and South Korea from uniting. That is their fear.
Why are they trying to prevent the unity of the Koreas? It's a very straightforward reason, actually, and it was given to me by one of Donald Rumsfeld's advisors, legal advisors at the Pentagon. I was debating her, funnily enough, in Berlin. And while in public she was very gung-ho for all their wars, in private over lunch, I said, could you explain to me one thing? Why are you stopping the uniting of the Korean Peninsula? And she said, it's obvious. I said, well, not to me. She said, look, this region in the Far East is acquiring more and more importance. We know the South Koreans very well. We see the gleam in their eyes when unity is mentioned. Why? Because if they were to unite with North Korea, they would become a nuclear power. If you have the Korean Peninsula as a nuclear power, China is a nuclear power, India is a nuclear power, Pakistan is a nuclear power. First, the Japanese will insist that a nuclear Korea, they will not, that Japan cannot remain without nuclear weapons. How can we stop that? So it'll shift the entire relationship of forces on a military scale in this part of the world, which has China. She said, we are not going to permit it. That's why we stepped in and stopped it. It's the one big difference with the previous administration.
Tariq Ali, thank you.
That interview of Tariq Ali was on Afshin Ratansi's program called Going Underground, available at most podcast sites as well as rumble.com. The interview itself is 30 minutes long and I highly recommend it. Next, France 24. The subject of tariffs was everywhere in the media and changed from day to day. We're going to start with some international press reviews from Thursday on the U.S. tariffs on trading partners. Then a press review on the protest for and against far-right leader Marine Le Pen in Paris after she was banned from running in the next French presidential election. France President Macron says France could be the next country to officially recognize Palestinian statehood, like 147 other countries in the world. France 24.
Back to tariffs. What surprise. Emily is looking through it. What are the papers saying about it then, Emily?
Yes, well, unsurprisingly, it's the only story that's been on most of the front pages worldwide. It, particularly in The Guardian here, it's almost the only story on their front page. They say Trump pauses global trade war, but hits China with 125% tariffs. It's been caused by The Guardian, but also a U-turn by The Independent, as you can see here. Meanwhile, the tabloids have been having a little bit more fun with it. The Daily Mirror calls it erratic Trump's new gamble, Great War of China. Now, maybe let's have a look at what the Chinese papers are saying and how they've been covering the story. The China Daily, a government-owned paper, featured, of course, the story on their front page. They say, quote, China hits back at U.S. tariffs to defend rules-based trade. It says the government is ready to stand firm in defense of the multilateral trading system. The article calls Trump's latest move a mistake upon a mistake and a clear example of economic coercion. The Global Times, another state-run media outlet there, also had a rather defiant tone. It highlighted Chinese resilience and adds that China will not be intimidated by U.S. protectionism. Now, the Hong Kong-based South China Morning Post, as you can imagine, also had it on their front page, but they had an interesting two-page spread in their paper about the potential impacts that a global trade war might have. Piece reads right up here, exporters ditch shipments in face of costs crunch. The article explains that Chinese exporters are abandoning their shipments mid-voyage at times and giving up their containers to avoid the crushing cost of tariffs. It says, Stuart, that Chinese companies are now looking to Europe and Japan for safer waters.
Starting off with coverage in those protests in Paris following Marine Le Pen's trial. Have the French papers reacted to that, Emily?
Yes, well, this story is on most of the French front pages. Today, let's have a look at Libération. They call it La RN à la Pen, a triple play on words there. The National Rally struggles, but also Pen referring to the sentence and bearing a little bit of a resemblance to Marine's last name. They say the rally was a flop after it saw a relatively small turnout. Now, Humanité, meanwhile, calls it a demonstration of a farce. Le Pen had initially called it a demonstration of force, but this article says it did not live up to expectations. The Daily La Croix, meanwhile, says that Le Pen is trying to reconquer support by circulating the idea of an unfair, politically motivated trial, a risky strategy according to the paper, which could lead to a bad start for her banned presidential campaign. Now, European papers are also following up on this story. In Germany, the Frankfurter Allgemeine, headlining with a greeting from Europe's right-wing populists. It draws parallels between Le Pen and Trump's reactions to compromising legal decisions. The article quotes Le Pen, who said the trial was a witch hunt. Now, the British paper The Times is also quoting Le Pen in this headline, I am the Martin Luther King of France. She compared her fight to that of Martin Luther King, a comment which, unsurprisingly, Stuart, has been widely condemned in the French papers.
Following in the footsteps of Spain, Norway and Ireland, Emmanuel Macron says France could become the next European country to officially recognize Palestine's independence. A major policy switch for a nation which had until now refrained from antagonizing Israel, and a boost for Palestinians' long-standing quest for statehood. In 1947, the UN voted a partition plan which would have created two nations, Israel and Palestine, but Arab states and Palestinian representatives rejected the plan. Followed a series of wars in which Israel gradually occupied the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. And in 1987, the First Intifada pushed the battle for independence into the spotlight.
It will continue, wave after wave, till achieving real peace through establishing our independent Palestinian state.
A year later, in 1988, 78 countries recognized Palestine's independence, and in the following decades, more and more countries began to follow suit. In 2011, UNESCO integrated Palestine as a member state, and in 2012 it was granted UN observer status. In 2024, Spain, Ireland, and Norway became the latest countries to recognize Palestine
as a state,
as Israel carried out a devastating bombing campaign on Gaza. As of today, some 147 countries officially recognize Palestinian statehood. Notable exceptions include the UK, Germany, and the US.
Those press reviews and report were from France 24. France 24 may be found at their website, france24.com, as well as a YouTube channel called France 24 English, as well as most podcast sites. On to Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. French President Macron has called for a ceasefire in Gaza, along with the lifting of the Israeli aid blockade. An interview with Egyptian journalist Karim El Garoui. Then a report on the increased tariff that Trump imposed on China. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
Emmanuel Macron has called for a ceasefire in Gaza during his visit to Egypt. The French president has been meeting Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi ahead of a summit on Gaza with Jordan's King Abdullah II. Macron has urged the lifting of Israel's aid blockade. Israel renewed its offensive against Hamas in Gaza 3 weeks ago. And for more on Macron's visit to Egypt, I'm joined now by journalist Karim El Garoui. He's in Cairo. Karim, what is Macron's visit all about? Why is he in Egypt now?
Well, besides that, there are some bilateral business deals and there will be talks about the situation in Sudan and Libya. But the core of this visit is the topic of Gaza. I think Europeans are trying to find a role in the Middle East separated from the U.S. The EU position is clear. They want to have a two-state solution with a Palestinian state. They don't want any displacement of Palestinians, neither from the Gaza Strip nor from the West Bank. The U.S., on the other hand, Trump dropped basically the two-state goal and is openly propagating a Palestinian displacement from the Gaza Strip. He's talking about the Viera of the Middle East in Gaza without the Palestinians. So I think this visit of Macron is a European way to try to emancipating itself from the U.S. when it comes to the Palestinian questions and to find their own European diplomacy in the Middle East that is not in sync with the U.S.
I want to ask you about this summit that's been announced between Jordan, Egypt, and France. Is there any hope, Karim, that it could shift the dynamics on the ground somehow?
Well, Macron is meeting the King of Jordan and the Egyptian president. That are the two countries that would be most affected by a Palestinian displacement from the Gaza Strip or the West Bank. They, both countries, the King of Jordan and the Egyptian president, they want to see a clear EU commitment to a two-state solution and a clear commitment that there will be no displacement of Palestinians, neither to Egypt nor to Jordan. Egypt is also in the forefront of the mediator to get a ceasefire going. Again, there's an Egyptian suggestion on the table of releasing a limited number of hostages for Israel to commit to the second phase of the ceasefire, where Israel should commit itself to a full withdrawal of its forces and to an end of the war. So that is, I think, one of the goals. Macron also said clearly that he is also for, again, starting the ceasefire in the Gaza Strip.
Karim, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. Journalist Karim El Garoui in Cairo, thank you very much.
The tit-for-tat tariff dispute continues without pause between the world's two largest economies.
As you all know, the president just put out a statement announcing an additional tariff on China. The tariff on China will now go up to 125% because China imprudently decided to retaliate against the United States. And as I said at the podium yesterday, when you punch at the United States of America, President Trump is going to punch back harder.
On Truth Social, Trump said the new measure was, quote, based on the lack of respect that China has shown to the world's markets. Comes after Beijing said It was imposing an 84% tariff on U.S. goods in retaliation and vowed to, quote, fight to the end in an escalating trade battle with Trump. The U.S. insists that the tariffs are necessary to revive its manufacturing and maintains that the blame for the escalation lies on Beijing. Beijing says the U.S. is making a mistake and that it has filed a complaint to the Geneva-based World Trade Organization over the measures.
The Chinese people cannot be denied their legitimate right to development, and China's sovereignty, security, and development interests must not be infringed upon. We will continue to take strong measures to safeguard our legitimate rights and interests.
The World Trade Organization has warned that rising tensions between the U.S. and China could see bilateral trade plummet by as much as 80%, and that the conflict could damage the global economic outlook.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com, as well as on YouTube at their channels called DW News and DW Documentary. Deutsche Welle is also up at most podcast sites. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could help support this program like a monthly subscriber in Central California does, there's a link for online donations at my website, outfarpress.com, or you could write to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Many, many thanks to everyone who's ever helped keep this freely distributed show on the airwaves. If you are listening on a public radio station, they will soon have an even greater need for your support as well. We will conclude with NHK Japan. South Korea will elect a new president in June. Ukraine and Russia resumed large-scale bombings of each other. An American academic in Thailand is under arrest for insulting the monarchy. The European Union and China are talking trade on a level playing field. Then a bit more about Marine Le Pen, who considers her banning a part of a witch hunt. NHK Japan.
The South Korean government has announced the country will go to the polls on June 3rd to elect a president. It follows the removal of former President Yoon Suk-yeol from office. The date was set at a cabinet meeting Tuesday. It came 4 days after the Constitutional Court upheld Yoon's impeachment over his short-lived declaration of martial law in December. The presidential election was originally scheduled for March 2027. Candidate selection by political parties will now go into full swing. The ruling People Power Party is preparing to choose its candidate. It launched an election management commission on Monday. Democratic Party leader Lee Jae-myung is seen as a likely candidate for the largest opposition party. South Korea's Yonhap News Agency says Lee is expected to formally declare his candidacy after stepping down from the top party post.
Ukrainian officials say large-scale Russian air attacks over the weekend claimed the life of one person and wounded three others in the capital, Kyiv. Reuters news agency says they were the first large-scale attacks since late last month. The Ukrainian Air Force said 23 missiles and 109 drones were detected over many parts of Ukraine between Saturday night and Sunday morning. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky accused Russian President Vladimir Putin of seeking to continue the war using even greater force. The Russian Defense Ministry, in turn, accused Ukrainian forces of launching 7 attacks on Russia's energy infrastructure.
An American academic living in Thailand is under arrest on a charge of insulting the monarchy. Thailand has a strict lèse majesté law. A single offense can land the guilty party with a prison sentence of up to 15 years. Paul Chambers is a lecturer at Narasun University in northern Thailand. His lawyers say he was denied bail and taken into custody on Tuesday. They added in a statement that the charge stems from a webinar invitation published on the website of a Singapore think tank in October. A blurb in the invitation refers to the appointment of high-ranking generals in the military and the role of the monarchy. Chambers' lawyers say he had no involvement in the blurb on the website. The U.S. State Department released a statement saying it is closely monitoring the situation. Les Majestés prosecutions in Thailand have spiked in recent years with a rise of protests demanding that the monarchy be reformed.
Leaders of China and the European Union have stressed the importance of working together to safeguard free trade. Chinese Premier Li Qiang and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen held phone talks on Tuesday. China's foreign ministry quoted Li as saying the country and the EU should strengthen communication to protect open trade and investment. The EU says von der Leyen called on Europe and China to support a strong reform trading system on a level playing field. China and the EU have been at odds over issues including the bloc's tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles, but they appear to agree on the need to address Washington's disruptive trade policy.
France's far-right politician Marine Le Pen has slammed a court ruling barring her from running for office. She said it was part of a witch hunt.
The court's decision is not judicial, but political. It's not justice. It's a witch hunt.
Le Pen made the remarks to a large crowd of supporters at a rally in Paris on Sunday. The event was held by the National Rally Party. Its president, Jordan Bardella, also attended. Le Pen is widely viewed as the front-runner for the 2027 presidential election. A court in Paris last month barred her from running for public office for 5 years. She was convicted of embezzling public funds meant for parliamentary assistance to finance her party's activities. Le Pen is the former head of the far-right party. She will not be able to run in the presidential election unless an appeals court overturns the ruling.
The candidate leading in the polls for the presidential election is barred from running. This is clearly a denial of democracy.
Supporters expressed solidarity with Le Pen. They waved French flags and banners reading President Marine Le Pen. Crowds also gathered for a counter-rally in Paris on the same day. It was organized by leftist and other parties that support Le Pen's conviction.
Those reports are from NHK World Radio Japan on shortwave. They're heard at 10 p.m. at 13710 or on the web at www.3.nhk.or.jp. All the times they announce are for Pacific Daylight Saving Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. NHK is also available at most podcast sites, as is the shortwave report. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcasts, get a global perspective. You will have to look harder these days because of U.S. and EU prohibitions on media. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for the show. That's outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows, find information for online support. There's a link at my website along with the podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 29th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. For 27 years, the Shortwave Report has been produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm still recuperating from a spinal injury and staying in a house connected to the grid. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.